Of 100 people working today who reach retirement age, only one will be wealthy. Four will be financially independent. 15 will have some savings put aside, and the other 80 will be dependent upon pensions, still working, or broke. This means that the odds of your achieving financial independence over the course of your working lifetime, if you continue to do what everyone else is doing, are no better than 1 in 20. There's a 95% probability that you will end your working lifetime in dire financial straits. For you to avoid this outcome, it's vital that you take certain steps and do things differently starting immediately. As I said before, the more you do of what you're doing, the more you'll get of what you've got. And if you're not happy with what you've got to do something different. Why is it then that some people seem to make more progress in a few years than the average person makes in a lifetime? Many men and women starting off with the same education, the same resources, the same opportunities, and the same liabilities seem to end up making far more money, living in nicer houses, working at better jobs, driving better cars, and taking more luxurious vacations than others do. What are the factors in America that enable one person to move ahead so much more rapidly than the average? In this session, we're going to talk about the various forms of leverage that you can develop to accelerate your speed of advancement and to multiply your results in life. You're going to learn the well-known and not-so-well-known methods and techniques used by all highly successful men and women in our dynamic, competitive, free enterprise society. These techniques of leverage are methods and ways of living that can dramatically increase the amount that you accomplish and the speed at which you accomplish it. They're used by all fast-trackers in business and all high achievers in life. The wonderful thing about them is that they're almost all free and require only self-discipline and persistent effort to incorporate them into your life. The payoff for you from using these forms of leverage can be enormous. There are basically 10 types of leverage that you can develop to help yourself along in your career and toward your goal of financial independence. The first form of leverage in America today is knowledge. Fully 70% of Americans today work in knowledge-based industries. Their primary jobs are the production, processing, and distribution of various forms of knowledge. Being in the right place at the right time with a critical piece of knowledge can save you weeks, months, even years of hard work. There's an old saying that knowledge is power. However, this isn't complete. Only practical knowledge that can be put to some use to achieve some goal or benefit for yourself or someone else is power. There's a lot of knowledge that is interesting and entertaining, even enjoyable to study and reflect upon, but it cannot be put to any good use for practical purposes. Your job is to organize your life in such a way that you are continually seeking out and taking in new, valuable, practical knowledge that you can use in your work and in your career to move ahead more rapidly. You can gain this knowledge through continuous study, as we talked about in the last session, through books, through audio cassettes, and through taking courses and seminars during the day or evenings and on weekends. The law of correspondence, remember, says that your outer world will reflect your inner world. This law also says that your outer world of wealth and achievement will always correspond to your inner world of learning and preparation. You can gain knowledge by observation of the work and activities of others and by taking note of what is going on. Successful men and women have a tendency to be far more observant than the average. They tend to be sensitive and aware of what's going on in their work and personal life, and they store their observations away for use later. You can gain knowledge by asking questions of other knowledgeable people. Sometimes, a few minutes spent with an expert on a subject will give you more practical knowledge and direction in what to do than hours spent reading books and seeking for information on your own. Whenever you face a situation where you find that you are not making progress because you lack a particular kind of knowledge, your very first line of attack should be to ask around and talk to people and see if you cannot find someone who's had the same problem before or who has the information that you require. People who are experts on their subjects are very open to talking to people who will ask questions and who listen intently to the answers. You can sometimes leapfrog ahead of your competition by becoming skillful at finding people who have the information that you need. One of the keys to achieving your goals is to sit down and identify the additional knowledge or information that you will require to get from where you are to where you want to go. Make a list of it, then organize the list in order of priority. What is the most important knowledge that you will need? What is the second most important knowledge? And so on. Then, make getting the knowledge you need one of your sub-goals in the accomplishment of your larger goals or your major definite purpose. The second form of leverage that can help you enormously is the leverage of skill or expertise. People who are at the top of their field in terms of their skill or their ability to do the job or get results are always paid far, far more than people who are just average. For example, in sales, it's quite common for the top 20% of salespeople to make 80% of the sales and earn 80% of the commissions. This means that the top 20% of salespeople earn, on average, 16 times the money of those in the bottom 80%. In every field where the average sales income is $10,000 or $15,000 per year, there are men and women earning $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 per year selling the same products or services at the same prices to the same people under the same competitive conditions. The difference is that the people in the top 20% or the top 10% or even the top 1% have taken the time and learned and practiced over and over until they develop the critical winning edges in their fields. One salesman who came through our seminar was about to quit selling because of the amount of rejection he was receiving. When he analyzed his sales activity, he found that he was being rejected 19 times for every sale that he was making. But instead of quitting, he decided to improve in two areas: his prospecting, or his ability to find qualified candidates, and his ability to close. By so doing, he improved his sales ratio from 1 in 20 to 1 in 15. Eventually, he lowered it to 1 in 10, then 1 in 5, then 1 in 3. By increasing his skills in the critical areas of prospecting and closing, he was able to double, then triple, and finally quadruple his income in less than a year. The wonderful thing is that you can learn and develop any skill that you desire. There is endless information and training available for you in any area of any field that's important to you. All you have to do is go out and get the training and then put into practice what you learn. Whatever field you're in, one of the fastest ways to assure that you make big money in that field is to commit yourself to becoming excellent. Be the best at what you do. If you don't enjoy your work enough to want to be the best at it, then you should leave that field and find something else that you care about enough to want to commit your whole heart to. The very best return on investment that you can get is from investing in yourself and your ability to do your job in an excellent fashion. The third form of leverage that you can develop is the leverage represented by your contacts, by the people that you meet and network with as a part of your personal and professional life. The fact is that your success in your career is going to be in direct proportion to the number of people you know and who know you in a positive and favorable way. The more people that you meet and become acquainted with, the greater are the odds that you will meet the right person at the right time who will open the door of opportunity for you. If you look back over your past life, you will find that almost every great opportunity or new direction in your life came about as the result of meeting or knowing a particular person. Most self-made millionaires, for example, are excellent networkers. They are continually looking for opportunities to meet and interact with others who can help them and who they can help in return. One of the most powerful principles for success in America is the law of reciprocity. This law says that if you do something nice for another person, you will create within him or her an unconscious obligation or desire to pay you back and to do something nice for you. There are many ways to network to your advantage. One of these ways is to join your trade or professional association and take an active part in its functions. When you're at a stage in your career where you have more time than money, you should be out all the time mixing with other people who can help you and who you may be able to help in return. If you're in sales, for example, join the organization called Sales and Marketing Executives International. There's usually a branch in every large city. If you're in business, join the professional or trade association of your industry. If you own your own business, join the Chamber of Commerce and perhaps one of your local service clubs, such as the Rotary, the Lions Club, or the Kinsmen. When you join one of these organizations, look at the names and occupations of the members who serve on the various boards and committees. Pick a board or committee that is important to the success of the organization and which has members who it might be helpful for you to know. Volunteer for work on that committee. Accept responsibility and take charge. Develop a reputation for making a valuable contribution. Volunteer for additional assignments. Get yourself known by attending every committee meeting and participating in every weekly or monthly general meeting of the association. Don't push yourself on others, but remember what Woody Allen said, 80% of success is just showing up. This form of networking brings you to the attention of men and women who may be in a position to help you, but it does it in a non-threatening way. It gives you an opportunity to show your stuff, to demonstrate to others what you're made of without ever asking them for anything. Another excellent career move for you is to get involved with community services and activities that you believe in and care about. My entire career was changed by getting actively involved in the United Way. It brought me into contact with the leading business people of the community and eventually resulted in my doing more business in 3 months than I had done in the previous 3 years. This came about because I was willing to contribute my time and energies at no charge to a worthwhile charity. My activities got me tremendous exposure to many people who eventually became my clients and customers. Another way to build your contacts and relationships is to sit down and write out a strategic plan to meet the top 100 men and women in your community. As you read the newspapers and local magazines, as you talk to people and hear the names of men and women who are the movers and shakers in your community, write their names down. Then, make a plan to write them a letter, get involved in their community-supported activities or political party, or find some way to attend functions or to network with people who know them. Do you think it would be helpful to you to know and be known by the top 100 people in your community? You bet it would. The fourth form of leverage that can help you move ahead faster is that of money. Money is terribly important for several reasons. The first reason is that when you have money in the bank, you're a very different person in your relationships with others than if you have no money and if you're tense and uneasy about your bills and your debts. The saving and accumulation of money improves your character and makes you a stronger and more self-confident person. It makes you more effective and persuasive with others. A second reason why money is important is that having it enables you to take advantage of opportunities that come along. If the very best opportunity for you to increase your net worth, to get in on the ground floor, or to start a new business selling a popular product or service came along and you had no money to invest, it would do you no good. As I travel around the country, I meet countless men and women who've been presented with wonderful opportunities, but with which they can do nothing because they have no savings. They've gotten into the habit of spending everything they earn and a little bit more besides, and they are trapped on an endless treadmill of debt and repayment. A third reason why you need to accumulate money is so that you can walk away from a bad job if you don't like it. I gave this recommendation to save and accumulate a reserve fund to a young woman in my seminar some years ago. A year later, she wrote back to me and said it was the best advice she had ever received. Up to that time, she said, she had spent everything she made on living expenses and clothes. After the seminar, however, she began saving as much of her monthly income as she could put away. By the end of the year, she had saved almost 2 months' worth of expenses. Just at that time, her boss began to make unreasonable demands on her, insisting that she work overtime and weekends for no increase in pay. as the boss became more difficult to deal with and the job became more unpleasant, she told me that she thanked her lucky stars that she'd been saving that money. She was able to walk away from the job and take her time finding a better job because she'd put the money aside. As it happened, her new self-confidence enabled her to get a better job, paying 30% more than her old job. The fastest way to boost your income is to be able to quit and get a better job paying more somewhere else. One of the most important rules of life is that you are only as free as your options or your developed alternatives. You're only free when there is something else that you can do and somewhere else that you can go. One of the great wasters of life and potential is having to stay at a job that you don't like, at a job that either doesn't challenge you or which is unpleasant for you because you can't leave. Probably 80% of Americans working today are caught in these golden chains. They cannot leave their jobs because of their debts and monthly bills. The fifth form of leverage that you can develop is good work habits, the ability to get the job done in a quality fashion. In a study of 104 chief executive officers, they were asked to identify the qualities that would most mark a young person for rapid promotion. 85% of them agreed that two qualities were more important than anything else. They were, first, the ability to separate the relevant from the irrelevant. That is, the ability to set priorities. And second, the ability to get on with the job and get it done fast without procrastination or delay. The person with good work habits is the one who works all the time that he or she is at work. This is the person who gets a reputation for working harder than his or her peers and colleagues. There's probably nothing that will bring you to the attention of your superiors faster than getting a reputation for being the person who works harder than anyone else. The sixth form of leverage that you can develop that goes along with good and productive work habits is high energy. In order to succeed and get ahead of the others, you must have the stamina and the energy to work longer and harder than they do. In fact, it's often said that in America you work 40 hours per week for survival, and everything over that is for success. If you're only working 40 hours a week today, all you're doing is treading water, staying even with your bills and expenses. If you want to get ahead, you have to increase your average work week from 40 to 50 or even 60 hours, which is the average work week of the executive or the entrepreneur. Some years ago, the retiring president of the American Chamber of Commerce shared his secret for lifelong success at his farewell banquet. He said that he had learned it as a young man. It was contained in a quote stuck to a school bulletin board, and it said, "Your success in life will be in direct proportion to what you do after you do what you're expected to do." He said that he had used this as his guiding principle throughout life, and it had made him one of the most respected and successful men in America. Napoleon Hill, after a lifetime of studying successful men and women who rose from poverty and obscurity to wealth and prestige, concluded that the habit of going the extra mile was the single habit that had opened the doors of opportunity for them. The habit of always doing more than you're paid for, always putting in more hours than are expected, and especially more hours than the average person, is the key to rapid advancement. It seems as if the Red Sea of opportunity opens up before the person who is willing to give more of himself or herself than the average. And in order to do more than is expected, in order to go the extra mile, you must have extra strength, extra energy, and extra vitality. You need to build up your energy by sleeping 7 or 8 hours a night, by eating the right foods and in the right combinations, and by getting regular exercise to maintain your stamina and your endurance. Every single practice of discipline and personal self-control you exercise that gives you greater energy and vitality is an investment in your present and in your future. Maintaining high energy levels is a powerful form of leverage that will help you in your career or your business. The seventh form of leverage that you can develop is a positive personality combined with good communication skills. Perhaps the fastest way to get ahead in America is to be a likable, cheerful, and optimistic person that other people enjoy being around. Liking is one of the most powerful influence factors in getting people to cooperate with you. When people like you, they'll want to do business with you, to buy from you, to lend you money, to give you the benefit of the doubt, and to promote and advance you faster than they would if they didn't feel so positively towards you. Having good communication skills means that not only can you speak well, but also that you have a good vocabulary. In Earl Nightingale's program, Lead the Field, he talks about the one thing you can't hide, which is your command of the English language. There are many studies that demonstrate and prove that your level of income is closely correlated to the number of English words that you can use and recognize when you communicate. The minute that you open your mouth in conversation, you are immediately categorized and pigeonholed by the people around you. Many otherwise decent, talented, and hardworking men and women are passed over for jobs and for promotions because their use of the English language is so poor. Each new word that you learn to recognize and use is connected to as many as 10 other words. If you simply make a habit of learning one new word per day by carrying a dictionary around with you and looking up and writing down the meaning of each new word you come across, you will learn 365 new words per year. If these words are each connected to or associated with 10 others, you will have learned to recognize and use as many as 3,650 new words in a year. Since the average American uses less than 2,000 words in his entire vocabulary, in just 1 year you can have a vocabulary that ranks you with the top 10% of the population. Vocabulary is also important in that words are the tools of thought. The more words that you know and understand, the better and more skillful a thinker you will become. A larger vocabulary enables you to think and speak with greater clarity and accuracy, and allows you to understand and deal with more complex issues and ideas. As you begin to develop a broader vocabulary, you should also think of learning how to speak on your feet. By joining your local chapter of Toastmasters International, in 6 months you can overcome your fears of public speaking and be able to give a reasonably competent public talk on a few minutes' notice. You can also take a course from the Dale Carnegie Organization to build self-confidence and communication skills and the ability to speak effectively in front of others. There is perhaps no other investment in yourself that will pay off more rapidly than for you to learn how to be an effective and skilled communicator in front of an audience. Salespeople who are held back because of their fears of rejection have found that a course in public speaking dramatically increases their levels of self-confidence in prospecting and cold calling. The results of this new self-confidence are very rapidly seen in their bigger paychecks and larger commissions from their sales work. You should look upon the development of excellent communication skills and a broader vocabulary as an investment in time that will pay off in money and greater career success. The eighth form of leverage that you can develop is a positive, successful image. It's amazing how many of our opinions, evaluations, and judgments are formed as the result of superficial factors or characteristics. To put it another way, people judge you by the way you look on the outside. Fully 95% of the first impression that you make on another person is determined by the clothes you wear. This is simply because the clothes you wear, all things being equal, cover 95% of your body. Some people make the mistake of concluding that it's not fair or right for people to judge them by their clothes or by their appearance. Unfortunately, this is simply self-delusion. The fact is that you judge and categorize everybody else by the way they look, and that is the way that they judge you. The best way to deal with this phenomenon of human nature is simply, if you want to get along, you should go along. You should accept that your appearance and the image that you present are going to have an inordinate impact on the way you are viewed by others, the kind of job you get, how often you're promoted, the kind of money you're paid, and the way that you're treated by your boss, your co-workers, and your subordinates. At the very minimum, you should purchase and read from cover to cover either John Molloy's book, Dress for Success for Men, or his book, Dress for Success for Women. Ideally, you should dress for two positions above your current job. In other words, you should dress the way your boss's boss dresses. It's been proven over and over again that people like to work with and to promote and pay people who dress and look similar to themselves, or even better. And don't make the mistake of taking your cues for dress from the men's or women's fashion magazines. These magazines contain articles on clothing and style that are written in order to sell the fashion advertising on the accompanying pages. Their recommendations for what is acceptable business dress are almost invariably wrong. If you believe that it's okay to lighten up and dress casually because you read it in a magazine, you may find yourself overlooked for promotion or not even hired in the first place as a result. This is an area where you need to take your cues from the successful men and women around you. Look at the way that the top executives in the company where you work are dressing, and look at the way that the top people whose pictures appear in the newspapers and magazines are dressing. If you're going to be a follower in fashion, follow the leaders, not the followers, and certainly not the fashion magazines. The ninth form of leverage that will exert a tremendous influence on your success in America is your character. As Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "What you are shouts at me so loudly that I can't hear a word you say." Your character is the sum total result of your values, your self-discipline, your morals, and especially your integrity. In the final analysis, your character is perhaps the most important single element in determining how far you go in your career. I've served as a consultant to more than 300 corporations in the last few years. In virtually every case, and almost without exception, I found the men and women in positions of responsibility in these organizations to have been possessed of the highest character and integrity. Men and women with character tend to move up into positions of authority within every organization of value. Your character will be partly judged and determined by your dependability, by whether or not you do what you say you will do. Your character will be partly judged on your level of determination, on how badly you want a particular job or position. As much as anything, your character will be judged by the way that you treat other people. As Thomas Carlyle said, "You can tell a big man by the way he treats little men." You cannot fake character, but you can develop character by deciding on your basic values and then living your life in a manner that is consistent with them, never compromising your values for anything. The more that you exert self-discipline and self-control, the stronger and finer will be your character. And the sum total of what you are, your character, is something that can be read very easily by others. A fine character can go a long way to moving you up the ladder of success, whereas a serious character flaw such as dishonesty or unreliability can be fatal to your success. The tenth form of leverage enjoyed by all successful people in America is the leverage of luck. It's amazing how many successful men and women ascribe much of their success to luck. However, we know that in a perfect universe governed by law, there are no accidents. Luck is simply a way of trying to explain events that the person doesn't understand. We know that what seems to be luck is merely a demonstration of the iron law of cause and effect, especially of the law of attraction. We know that you attract into your life people, ideas, circumstances, and opportunities in harmony with your dominant thoughts, in harmony with the kind of person that you really are. When you invest your time and money to increase your store of practical knowledge, you trigger the law of attraction. When you upgrade your skills, you attract more opportunities to use those skills. When you increase your number of contacts, you tend to attract to you the kind of people who can help you get the things you want. When you save money, you again trigger the law of attraction, which brings more money and more opportunities to use that money into your life. When you develop good work habits, you attract opportunities to apply your work habits toward getting more and more important things done. When you discipline yourself to eat, sleep, and exercise for high levels of health and vitality, you attract opportunities to apply your energies to productive purposes. When you develop good communication skills and a positive personality, you attract into your life other positive, progressive people who can help you and whom you can help in return. When you develop character based on strict adherence to a high code of moral principles and values, you attract into your life people of the same caliber who will help you and work with you toward the achievement of your objectives. When you do all of these things, then you begin to have what other people call luck. You begin to have a remarkable series of experiences that seem to speed you along the road toward the achievement of your innermost desires and aspirations. Your exercise for this session is to develop what I call the continuous action technique, which we talked about before. The continuous action technique is based on the physical law of momentum, which says that a body in motion tends to remain in motion unless acted upon by an outside force. It says, as you recall, that if it requires 10 units of energy to get a body into motion and moving forward, it may only take 1 unit of energy to maintain that same speed and forward motion. The momentum theory of success says that you must be continually doing both large and small things that are moving you toward the achievement of your important goals. Every single day you must have a project and a series of mini projects that you're working on to increase your knowledge or your skills or to build up your contacts or to increase your level of savings. You must be constantly working on your work habits and doing the things necessary to assure high levels of energy. You must be improving your personality and working on your communication skills. You must be conscious and aware of your image and be living a life consistent with a fine character. You must take continuous action every day, every hour, in the direction of your goals. You must do something extra every single day that is moving you toward the accomplishment of your most important objective. In short, you must maintain momentum. It's much easier for you to maintain momentum once started than it is to stop and start up again. And the faster you move, the more energy you have. The busier you are, the more alert and aware you become, and the more you get done. All successful people work at a fast tempo. They move quickly. They move fast on opportunities. They don't delay. They engage in continuous action, and as a result, in the same 24 hours per day available to everyone, they accomplish far, far more than the average person. Continuous action is the fastest cure for depression or demotivation. There's something about working hard and fast, about getting up, getting going, and getting busy that gives you a feeling of excitement and enthusiasm and propels you toward your goals. The way to use the continuous action technique is to decide upon one key, small, measurable action or project that you're going to engage in every single day, every week, and every month. Always be working on something specific, concrete, and measurable so that when it's complete, you can see the results and get the thrill of achievement. You will feel like a winner, and this will motivate you to do more things that will give you the same feeling. The continuous action technique, the conscious development and maintenance of momentum, is absolutely essential to your success. Get started today. Here's another action exercise for you. Make a list of the 10 forms of leverage: knowledge, skill, contacts, money, good work habits, high energy, image, positive personality, character, and luck. Down the left-hand side of a page, with 3 lines between each one. Then, write out at least 3 specific actions you could take to begin developing each form of leverage in your life. Select the most obvious one in each category and get started now. Only 10% of self-made millionaires in America are men and women who've worked for other companies for their entire lives. By doing their work well and by doing things differently from the average employee, they manage to get better jobs, get promoted faster, and earn far more money over the course of their careers than the average person. In this session, you're going to learn how you can put your career onto the fast track. You're going to learn many of the methods, techniques, and even secrets of those men and women who seem to do far, far better in their careers than the average. Here's a simple question. Is the manager earning $250,000 per year 10 times better than the manager or employee who is earning $25,000 per year? Is this manager 10 times more experienced? Does he or she have 10 times the level of education or 10 times the intelligence? The answer is, of course, no. The answer is that the manager earning $250,000 per year is probably only a little better in certain critical areas than the person who is earning $25,000 per year. What you'll learn in the next few minutes are some of the things that you can do to give yourself these winning edges and to move yourself ahead more rapidly in whatever career you've chosen. Mark Twain once wrote that there are 1,000 excuses for every failure, but never a good reason. The tragedy of the average American is that whereas his or her main preoccupation seems to be money or the lack thereof, the average person already has the inherent potential to earn far more than he or she is doing currently. Let's begin by pointing out that it is not what you have, but what you do with what you have that will determine how successful you are in your career. Abraham Maslow, the psychologist, said that the story of the human race is the story of men and women selling themselves short. He said that people have a tendency to settle for far less from life than they're truly capable of. Many people are spinning their wheels in careers where they should be moving ahead rapidly onward and upward. Someone once said jokingly that the key to success in America was to choose your parents carefully. That may be partially true, but what is even more important is to choose your job or career with great care, as we discussed in the previous session. The choice of a job or occupation for which you are ideally suited comes before anything else. If you try to work at something you don't enjoy or don't believe in, you'll never be happy and you'll never be rich. Which brings us to the next point. If you want to reach the stars in your career, if you want to become excellent at what you do, you have to be willing to pay any price, go any distance, spend any amount of time necessary to be the best. And here's a vital key. You're being paid today exactly what you're worth. No more, no less. If you want to earn more, you must increase your worth, your value in dollars to your organization. The reason why choosing the right career, why doing what you love to do is so important, is that unless you really care about your work, you'll never be motivated to persist at it long enough until you become excellent. And until you become excellent at what you're doing, you can't move ahead. Only the truly competent individual can be free from politics in any organization. When you're really good at what you do, you can rise above politics. It's the mediocrities at work who have to play games, and every study shows that although they sometimes succeed in the short term, they invariably fail when everyone else figures them out. So pick your work carefully, and if you don't love what you're doing enough to want to be the best at it, get out. Flee from a boring or unsatisfying job as you would from a burning building. Use the creative job search techniques and methodology described earlier to get a job that really satisfies you. Working at something you don't care about is the very best way to waste your life. Remember, this life is not a rehearsal for something else. This is the only one you've got. The next key for getting onto the fast track is to work for the right company and the right boss. The right company is one that respects its people and practices pay for performance. The right company is dynamic, growing, open to new ideas, and full of opportunities for people with ambition and initiative, like you. A woman spoke to me at a seminar recently and reminded me that she had asked me a question at a seminar about 2 years ago. She told me that she was very ambitious and hardworking, but that she wasn't making any progress in the large company where she worked. She felt that it was because most of the senior executives were men in their 50s and 60s and that women had a hard time getting into positions of responsibility. She asked me at that previous seminar what she could do and how she could change the attitudes of her bosses. I had told her quite frankly that, in my opinion, there was really nothing that she could do. The senior executives and the company were not going to change. But I also told her that if she really was as capable as she said, she should find a position with a young, growing company that wouldn't care if she was a woman as long as she could do the job. She told me that she had followed my advice, quit her job, much to the disapproval of her coworkers, and found a job with a small, growing company, and that it was exactly as I had said. She had been promoted twice in the last 2 years, and was already earning 40% more than her best year with her previous company. More important, though, she was much, much happier. It's important that you pick your boss carefully and refuse to work for a difficult, negative person. Much of your happiness and job satisfaction depends upon your relationship with your superior. If you don't get along with him or her, make every effort to resolve it or to get transferred. And if you can't, be prepared to walk away. Choosing the right work, the right place to do it, and the right people to do it with lays the foundation for your career success. Now, if you've done all that, you're ready to implement the niche strategy. The niche strategy is based on the fact that some jobs in any organization are more critical to the health of the organization than others. Buck Rogers, for example, became one of the most powerful people in IBM because he was in charge of marketing, the lifeblood of the company. A strategic niche is a job or position that influences the cash flow of the company. In most companies, cash flow is determined by sales and marketing. And if you want to get ahead rapidly, in most companies, you must work your way into the sales and marketing functions. Many people at my seminars come up to me and ask me how they can make more money at their jobs. When they tell me their positions, the problem is usually clear. They're working in areas of the company and at jobs that are felt to be of lesser importance than other areas and other jobs. As a result, their services are not as highly valued, no matter how hard they work or how well they do their job. Their increases are set at the level that will keep them from quitting or that will enable the company to hire someone else fairly quickly if they do quit. They are stuck where they are. To increase your income, you must be in a position to increase the company's income, to somehow increase revenues or reduce expenses. So look at your company and look for that niche where you can become more valuable. Once you make yourself valuable, then go the extra mile and make yourself indispensable. The next key, and perhaps the fastest way to bring yourself to the attention of your superiors, as we've talked about before, is to develop good work habits. Most people are time wasters. They waste not only their own time, but also that of others. They work at about 50% or less of capacity, and because of this, they usually have a hard time getting ahead. But if you develop a reputation for speed, dependability, and quality work, you'll immediately stand out from the majority. You will immediately move on to the fast track. For many reasons, people respect those who get the job done quickly. When you get a reputation for being the person who your boss can rely on for fast, high-quality work, your future is assured. And if your boss doesn't appreciate you, there are plenty of other bosses who will. If you've worked yourself into a niche, into a position that is critical for the survival and growth of the company, the next step you can take is to accept 100% responsibility for your job and for everything you do. You can refuse to make excuses or to blame others. You can then tell your boss that you want even greater responsibilities, and when you get them, put your whole heart into doing an excellent job at them. If you'll carry out every assignment to the best of your ability, you'll be given even larger and more important things to do, and you'll be paid more as well. Many people sit around and complain about their jobs. They say that if they were paid more, or if they were given a better job, they would work harder and make a better contribution. But the law of sowing and reaping says that first you sow, then you reap. The key to getting a better job is to do your current job in an outstanding fashion. Superior work attracts the attention of your bosses as fast as anything else you can do in your entire career. In fact, until you are doing your current job extremely well, you can't even be considered for promotion to a more difficult or more complex job. The next thing you can do to assure rapid advancement in your career is to develop specialized knowledge. Knowledge is power, especially knowledge that can be put to good use for the good of the organization. Specialized knowledge or skills in a vital area enhances your promotability. In addition, control of vital information in the company is also a form of power. Be sure to learn all you can about your job and never tell all you know, not to anyone. On the subject of power, it's important that you understand some of the elements of politics and how to influence others in a corporate environment. You can't avoid politics because they're inherent in all human relations. Politics means nothing more or less than the ability to influence others on your behalf. A person with no political ability can have all the skills in the world, but will be continually surpassed by those who are more capable of gaining the cooperation of others. When you develop a power base in your position, you'll be able to make others dependent upon you for the attainment of desired outcomes. If you have specialized skills and knowledge and you do your job in an excellent fashion, eventually the company will come to depend upon you more and more. This is perhaps the surest and fastest way to increase your influence and improve your income. With power, you can determine the flow of events. Your opinion and your judgment will be respected. You will be put in the position where you can say yes or no to various decisions or courses of action. Because people look to you with respect, you will be able to influence what happens in the company. When you have this kind of power, you can make a strong impact on others, especially your superiors, but also your peers and your subordinates. The person who has the ability to get the job done in an exemplary fashion is a person to whom respect and power naturally gravitate in the course of his or her career. Finally, if you have power, you can get people to do things even if they don't particularly want to. You'll have the ability to influence them to your way of thinking based on your value to the organization and the power that that gives you. Now, there are five major forms of power in any organizational system. The first kind of power is reward power, the ability to give people more money or better jobs. The second kind of power is coercive power, the ability to punish, demote, or assign people to unpleasant tasks. The combination of reward and coercive power is the traditional carrot and stick, and it's the basis for the interactions between the managers and the employees in many organizations. The third type of power is called legitimate power. Legitimate power is the power that goes along with any title or position. If a person is promoted to the position of Vice President of Sales, along with that title goes an office, a secretary, and the authority to make decisions in the sales department that will affect the allocation of people and money. All of these go with the position. When someone is elected to the presidency of the United States, he or she has legitimate power, power that is prescribed in the rules, and the power to do or not do many specific things. The fourth kind of power that arises in an organization, and the kind of power we were talking about earlier, is expert power. Expert power accrues to the person who has superior knowledge, talent, or skills. A person who does an extremely good job and makes himself or herself valuable to the organization tends to have expert power. If you have specialized knowledge or skills not possessed by anyone else in the company, people will become dependent upon you for your ability, and this gives you a certain amount of power and influence over them. The fifth kind of power is perhaps the best of all. It's called reference power, and it is based on respect and admiration. Reference power is often similar to charisma, the quality of personality that causes people to want to be influenced by that particular person. In every organization, there is an individual who is the best-liked individual in the company. This is the individual that people seek out for advice and who people are more than willing to help. When a person is respected and admired, he can call on almost anyone to help him or her achieve his or her goals. If you start off by developing expert power, the ability to do a good job, that will lead to reference power because of the respect and admiration you earn from others. With expert power and reference power, you will often be given legitimate power, a position or title that enables you to leverage yourself through the work of others. And along with legitimate power, you will be given reward and coercive power. You will have the ability to reward those who cooperate with you and to punish or discipline those who do not. In short, you'll have moved into the ranks of management and leadership, and you'll be in an excellent position to be paid more and more. Here are five advancement strategies that you can use to accelerate your growth in your career and increase the size of your income. The first is professional development. This is so important that we've spent an entire session on it, but personal and professional development requires from you a commitment to continue to learn, to grow, and to develop new skills and abilities. The second advancement strategy is intrapreneurship. Intrapreneurship is where you look for opportunities within the company to increase revenues. You look for opportunities to develop new businesses, to install new technologies that dramatically reduce costs or increase output. You become, in effect, an internal business person, seeking opportunities for profit within the context of the organization. If you can discover a new way to make money inside your company, some of it is probably going to rub off on you. The third advancement strategy is to change jobs within your company. Find another job in your company that's closer to the cash flow of the company and which therefore offers greater opportunities for advancement. If you can't change jobs within your company, aim to change jobs within your industry. Be alert to the fact that some jobs are dead ends. You can only be paid a certain amount in those jobs and no more. In addition, some jobs are decreasing in importance and desirability with changes in the way business is done in America. Be alert to this. Don't keep on selling buggy whips right into the automobile generation. The fourth career advancement strategy is to be an opportunist. Move fast on opportunities. Don't delay. If you hear of a chance to do something different or to apply for a different job or to move into a different field, do your homework and then be prepared to jump. Many of the most successful careers in America have been achieved by an individual who had the courage to move quickly when his or her opportunity came along. The best of all career advancement strategies, if you cannot move up as quickly as you want in your organization, is number 5. Quit and start your own business. Fully 74% of self-made millionaires in America achieve their wealth by starting and building their own businesses. In the book Breakpoint by Andrew Sherwood, the author writes about the critical times in your career when important decisions have to be made. The way that you make these decisions can enable you to move up or they can cause you to move down. The first breakpoint is a chance to move to another location, another region, another company, or another job. For many years, it was traditional in large companies to be moved every 2 or 3 years, and a refusal to move would often mean the end of that person's upward career path. However, when you're given either an order or an opportunity to move, it's essential that you sit down and do a thorough appraisal of where you are, where you want to go, and what the ramifications of that move might be. Many people have found that a move has been a giant step upward, and others have found that refusing to move or doing something else rather than moving has been the key to a successful career. The second breakpoint that Sherwood refers to is a change in command. If you get a new boss, this can have a major impact on your career. If you find that you and the new boss cannot see eye to eye, it may be necessary for you to reassess whether or not you should stay with that company. The third possible breakpoint in your career is changes in the way you are evaluated for promotion and additional pay. If a method of employee assessment is introduced to the company and you begin to be evaluated on talent, skills, and contributions where you are not particularly strong, this might indicate that you need to reassess your career. The fourth breakpoint is when the needs of the company change. One of the most common phenomena in American business today is that the job descriptions and the requirements for various positions are changing at frightening speed. You may have come into the job when your talents and skills and interests were ideal for the job, but if the external environment forces the company to change the requirements of your job, you must make a decision about whether or not you can make the change or whether you need to go somewhere else where your existing talents and abilities will be better utilized. The fifth breakpoint is when your risk quotient changes. Sometimes you'll get an opportunity to take a risky job or assignment, one that can mean big success or big disappointment. This can be a critical breakpoint that, if handled properly, can accelerate your career by several years. The sixth breakpoint that many people reach is a salary peak. You may have reached the point in your job where they cannot pay you any more for what you're doing without throwing the company's pay schedule out of kilter. Ross Perot, one of America's most successful self-made billionaires, was a top salesman for IBM for many years. He was so successful selling their mainframe computers on commission that in 1 year, he earned more than the president of the company. When the president and the senior executives saw that their top salespeople were earning more than they were, they changed the compensation system and put a lid of $35,000 per year on the income of salespeople. Ross Perot hit $35,000 in commissions on January 17 of the next year. He went to the company and asked them, "What happens now?" They informed him that he would be expected to work for the rest of the year, but he would receive no additional income beyond what he'd already earned in January. At this point, Ross Perot and many top salespeople left IBM to form their own businesses and to go into competition with IBM, eventually costing IBM billions of dollars in lost revenues. Many companies are reluctant to pay their salespeople too much money. They feel that no one should earn as much as the senior managers or executives. If you're in such a position with this kind of company and you want to earn what you are worth, you have no choice but to begin looking around for a company that will pay you based on performance rather than on politics and the ego needs of the senior executives. If your job involves working for another company, no matter what your position, you owe it to yourself to be continually seeking ways to move upward faster. Your job is to earn the very highest return on your energy, the highest return on your ability to work and produce results. The most important skill for advancement in any company is your ability to work well with others, the ability to be part of a team. In organizations today, all work is eventually done by teams, by groups of people working together in cooperation to get the job done. The one quality that everyone will be aware of from the very beginning and throughout your career is your ability to perform as part of a team and your ability to manage a team. When you're on a team of any kind at work, your best strategy is always to focus on making the maximum contribution while taking the minimum amount of credit. On almost any team, the 80-20 rule applies. 20% of the people on the team do 80% of the work. Your job is to make sure that you are focusing on being a member of that top 20%. Remember the old saying, it's amazing how much you can get done when nobody cares who gets the credit. The reason why people function poorly as team members and thereby sabotage their possibilities of advancement to greater responsibilities is because they're so preoccupied with getting credit for their efforts. If you're not concerned with the credit, a remarkable thing will happen. You'll get all the credit that you could ask for. When you become a team leader, you take on additional responsibilities. You then become responsible for setting goals, for delegating and assigning tasks, for allocating resources, and for making sure that the team accomplishes the job for which it was created. All managers are essentially team leaders. The output of the team is the manager's output. The very best managers are those who accept all the responsibility and accountability, but who give all the credit away. This is the fastest way to build loyalty and enthusiasm among your team members. And you don't have to worry. In the final analysis, everyone knows who's responsible for getting the job done. Here are 10 great rules for getting ahead in your career. Number one, develop staying power. Make a commitment to your job and to your career. Make it clear to your boss that you're there for the long term. Make it clear that you are committed to the success of your organization and your enterprise, and that you are a dedicated and loyal employee. Number two, never use your family or your extracurricular activities as an excuse for not giving 100% effort and dedication to the work. This is always a sign of weakness and causes your superiors to suspect your intentions toward the job for the long term. Number three, put in more time than anyone else. Get there a little bit earlier, work a little bit harder, and stay a little bit later. There is nothing more impressive to a boss than to see you when he or she arrives, and to see you there when he or she departs. Putting in even an extra 30 or 60 minutes per day can have a major impact on how fast you move ahead in your career. Number four, network with other people for information, for counsel, for advice, and for guidance. Your ability to network and interact effectively with people inside and outside your company could be the smartest and most important thing you do. Don't waste your lunch hours and your evenings in idle socializing. Put those hours to work by spending time around people who can help you and whom you can help in return. The fifth rule for getting ahead is to specialize and develop a valuable area of expertise, as I mentioned. Make yourself important and then make yourself indispensable. Rule number six, learn how to be a manager. Inspect what you expect. Take full responsibility for results and refuse to make any excuses if things go wrong. Move fast when there's a crisis. Rule number seven is to be a team player. Support and cooperate with others. Remember, the way that you are known to your coworkers is going to have a major impact on whether or not you are promoted. Number eight, be sure to thank those who help you. Express appreciation in the form of thank you notes and little gestures. It's a basic rule that whenever you thank someone for something that they have done for you, you make them feel good about themselves. You then create within them a desire to earn your thanks so that they can feel good about themselves again. The more things that you reinforce through appreciation, the more of those actions are going to occur. Number nine, use your appearance to create an image of strength and credibility. Dress professionally from head to toe. Always look, walk, talk, and act the part of the successful person that you intend to be in your company. Number 10, and perhaps as important as anything else, be loyal to your boss, to your company, to your department, and to your coworkers. Never say anything to anyone inside or outside the company that can be construed as critical or disloyal. This form of disloyalty, of speaking badly of someone, especially your boss, can do more to sabotage your career in an organization than anything that you can dream of. Here's an important rule for success in business and at work. It is simply this. Everybody knows everything. Never for a moment should you think that anything that you say to one other person will remain a secret for very long. Everybody knows everything. If you don't want something that you say to be relayed back to the worst possible person who could hear it, then don't ever say it at all. Your operating principle for politics and communications within your organization must be that everybody knows everything. Accepting this as a firm rule will save you an enormous amount of time, trouble, and explanations in the future. To put and keep your career on the fast track, remember also that your most important customer is your boss. You have been hired to please your boss. This is neither good nor bad. It's merely a fact. You and I make our livings from customer satisfaction. We are all paid in direct proportion to how well we satisfy our customers, whoever they may be. Your number one customer in your career is the person who has hired you and who has put you into your position. Many people feel that their bosses are simply necessary evils to be worked around and to be put up with. However, the fast tracker realizes that his or her career is attached to the boss and to how much he or she satisfies the boss on an ongoing basis. The entire essence of getting and keeping your career on the fast track is to see yourself as self-employed. The top 3% of men and women in every industry are those who act as if they own the place. They use words such as we and us and our and my when they refer to the company. They look upon everything that happens in the company as personally affecting them. Even though someone else signs their paycheck, they take a personal interest in everything that goes on. They're emotionally involved in what they do, and they're committed to the success of their organization. When your boss sees that you're determined to get ahead by making a valuable contribution, by helping him or her achieve his or her goals, and by accepting full responsibility for the survival and growth of the organization, you will move onto the fast track and into position for higher pay and greater responsibilities. One last thing. When you make all of these efforts and begin to enjoy the rewards, you will find that it's not very crowded on the fast track. Most people are simply not willing to make the extra efforts necessary to stand out in their work and in their careers. They've been given wrong information, and they've reached wrong conclusions. They believe that the best way to work is to do as little as you can possibly get away with. When you redefine the terms of the competition, you will move out in front of the pack onto the fast track. You will be on your way to earning the kind of money you both desire and deserve. You will be on the way toward achieving financial independence in the course of your working lifetime. Now, here's an action exercise for you. Sit down and analyze the niches in your company. What are the functions or activities in your company that account for the cash flow? Remember, cash is king in any business. The closer that you can be to increasing cash flow or decreasing costs, which is the same thing, the more valuable you can be to your organization. Look at your work and ask yourself, what are the most valuable and highly paid talents and skills in my organization? How could you develop these talents and skills? Could you sit down and make a goal and go to work on that goal over the next 6, 12, or 18 months? It doesn't take very long for you to begin to do above-average work and earn above-average pay. Very soon, you'll be doing superior work and earning superior pay. Finally, identify the critical areas of your boss's concern. What are his or her top priorities? What are the few things that you could do that would make the greatest impression in the mind and heart of your boss? Once you've identified these, go to work on them and do an excellent job.